Yep, so my name is Zach Wharton. I'm currently the team co-lead of Monash Nova Rover. We're a student-led engineering team at Monash University.
Welcome to the space show.
Thank you, it's great to be here.
We caught up with the Nova Rover people way back in 2017, 18, and a lot of years have rolled by since then. What's happened in those years?
Yeah, so 2017 or 2018 is very, very shortly after the inception of the Monash Nova Rover team. Our team evolved from the Warman Design and Build competition, which is a challenge held at a number of universities in the Asia-Pacific region. Since then, Monash Nova Rover has developed, it'll be about six rovers, with our newest being Banksia. So we designed these rovers to compete in international competitions. We were founded for the University Rover Challenge, which is a Martian analog mission held in the desert in Utah at the Mars Desert Research Station. Since then, in 2021, the Australian Rover Challenge has been founded, which simulates a lunar mission at the University of Adelaide. So we design our rovers to the requirements and the objectives of both of those missions.
And how have things gotten on?
Things have gotten on incredibly well. So we've risen to be one of the highest performing international teams at the University Rover Challenge. We achieved second place internationally from a cohort of about 100 universities across the world 2 years in a row in 2022 and 2023. We've recently achieved seventh place in that competition. We also took out first place at the Australian Rover Challenge for the inaugural 3 years with podium finishes over the past 2 years as well.
Getting to these events can't be cheap. Do you pay for it yourself or do you have sponsors?
It's a mix of both. So we receive faculty funding from Monash University. So we're very lucky to have the Monash Student Teams Initiative, which is a group that oversees all of the student teams at Monash University. So we receive an annual allocation of funding from MSTI. We also then have to secure external sponsorships from industry, to help support our rover development costs, but also our travel competition costs. Ultimately, however, the students are liable and having to make up a lot of the excess funds to go overseas to attend competitions for themselves. We pay for our flights and our accommodation, our food, while we're off representing the team.
And where do you get the materials from to make the rover?
Yeah, so a wide variety of places. One thing that's unique about our team is that we really value doing as much manufacturing as we possibly can in-house. So we're very lucky to have access to some pretty incredible facilities at the Monash Makerspace, some manual and CNC lathes and mills, composite manufacturing, electrical assembly areas, welding and grinding bays. So we will then go out and source a lot of stock material from aluminium and steel distributors in Victoria. We then bring that back to the Monash Makerspace and we do a lot of manual machining ourselves, as well as computer programmed machining to design and build a lot of the parts custom for our rover.
When I visited Monash and saw your rover, last decade,
yeah.
It was pretty primitive. Yep. I mean, it was impressive, but pretty primitive. But I'm looking at your rover here, and it's quite sophisticated.
Yeah, so our team really prides itself on iteration. We've been through a number of iterations now. Banksia is the team's seventh rover. So Banksia is a core rover platform. So when we refer to Banksia, we're really referring to the core chassis body, a four-wheeled suspension system with 2 degrees of freedom. So each wheel has independent pivot steering, so it can rotate about its vertical axis, which allows it to pivot and rotate on the spot. It allows it to strafe left and right, as well as doing normal back and forth driving, which is a big change to some of our earlier rovers, which relied on skid steering. We then develop a number of modular payloads that swap onto the rover depending on which competition task we're taking part of. So in that time, we've developed a 6 degree of freedom robotic arm completely in-house that uses custom gearboxes and is controlled via brushless motors. Importantly also, those brushless motors, along with all the other electrical control in the rover, is all done custom. So our team designs every single circuit board for all of our core power delivery and control across the rover, as well as for each payload. So there's the robotic arm. We develop two scientific payloads every year, one to complete lunar surface science for the Australian Rover Challenge, and then one to complete Martian surface science for the University Rover Challenge. We then also develop an autonomous package, which allows the rover to navigate autonomously without human input to achieve different objectives of the missions, find AR tags, navigate around obstacles, and to, goal locations.
So your rover can drive sideways?
Yeah, so each of those wheels can rotate 90 degrees, and then you drive either backwards or forwards, and that results in the rover driving right or left. In particular, when we have our robotic arm, that is a really useful feature. Often our rover will need to have the arm interacting with some panel. It might be typing on a keyboard, it might be pushing buttons or switches. If you don't have the ability to drive sideways, you need to drive backwards, rotate 90 degrees, relocate yourself, and then rotate 9 degrees back to face the panel. Our rover has the ability to strafe left and right, maintaining the position of the arm relative to that rocket panel, and just translate off to the side to access a new workspace, which is saves us a lot of time in competition, because each of those tasks is subject to a time limit. Typically that'll be somewhere between 40 and 60 minutes, in which we have to accrue as many points as we possibly can.
Why can't my car drive sideways when I'm trying to park?
It sure would make parallel parking a lot easier. Parallel parking the rover is far easier than parallel parking your car, yes.
Okay, so do you get a course credit for doing this?
Not directly. So the student team structure exists beyond our regular undergraduate course credit. There is, however, some ways in which we do get credit for the work we do. So in particular, there's a unit that you would have to do regardless of whether you're on a student team or not at any engineering course in Australia that will go through professional practices of being an engineer. Monash has set up a unit called Professional Practices for Student Teams, which allows us to evidence work that we've done on our student teams, not technical work. So we're not evidencing projects that we've done. We're evidencing things like our documentation, our financial management. This team really operates more like a small business than a club. So we're responsible for all of our financial management, all of our travel planning and logistics. So those evidence components of our work on the team we bring into professional practice to write reflections upon, which does give us credit.
They look like skills that many employers would be looking for.
Yeah, exactly right. So beyond the technical skills that our team endeavours to teach and to provide access to for our members, we provide a really unique way to accrue those softer skills, well, soft skills in teamwork and communication, but then also very applicable business skills in managing our finances, managing a large cohort of people. I mean, we're a team of 140 students. We have a management team that is overseeing all of those students. We're divided into 9 sub-teams that have sub-team representatives that then manage the projects and the technical work of the members within that sub-team. So, yeah, it's giving us access to a lot of important career and industry-ready skills that aren't directly taught through regular coursework in the classroom.
And you yourself, what year level are you at now?
Yeah, so I've just finished my 4th year of undergraduate study. I do a double degree in engineering, where I specialize in mechanical engineering, and science, where I major in astrophysics and do a minor in chemistry. You'll find that a lot of members across our team do double degrees. A lot of us are really interested in the intersection of engineering with another discipline. So for me, that's science. A lot of people will be studying maybe commerce or business and pull those skills into our team. Some will be studying computer science or IT. Really, really diverse range of backgrounds.
Are people doing double degrees common these days? Because when I was at university, years before you were born, you were lucky to even get into university to do one degree.
Yeah, certainly I can't speak on behalf of other universities, but certainly at Monash University it's very, very common to study a double degree. Some people may get a short way into their double degree and find that one discipline suits them more, so they'll leave one of them behind. But a lot of people like myself will continue with that all the way through, and it really offers a very diverse skill set. So, yeah, it's a very, very attractive option for undergraduate students these days.
And when you graduate, what do you hope to do?
I really hope to continue doing the sort of work I've done here at Nova. I'd love to work on space robotics or any sort of mission, whether it's satellites, whether it's rovers, whether it's orbiters, whether it's landers, something where I'm designing a mobility system or even designing the instrumentation that we need to carry out the scientific experiments that we're looking to do on other bodies within our solar system or far beyond. That is exactly what I'd love to be doing long term in my career.
Anything else you want to tell me about?
Definitely one other big aspect of our team. If you've ever seen our rover, you'll notice that it is blazing hot pink. The hot pink really stands out in the STEM industry. It's not necessarily a color that is often associated with science or space or STEM. So for the last two rovers, Waratah was our first in 2023, and Banksia this year. They are pink rovers, so they've been powder-coated pink. And this is an advocacy platform that our team uses to demonstrate that space and science is a space for everybody. This started as a campaign advocating specifically for women in STEM. Since then, it has broadened to be an advocacy platform that allows us to show that everybody is welcomed in STEM, everybody should consider a career in STEM, and that there are no barriers, whether it's gender or race, to entering this industry. So we want people to come up to us and ask why the rover is pink, because that initial conversation starter is exactly what we need. All it takes is a small conversation to help break down preconceived notions about who is and isn't allowed in STEM, because it is everybody.
And you do have females in your team?
Absolutely. Our team is just over 33% female, so approximately one in three, which sits well above the national averages for participation in STEM industries, and also the enrollments at Australian universities by gender.
Well, thanks for joining us on The Space Show.
Of course. Thanks a lot for having me, Andrew. Really appreciate your time today.